Morning, Luke chapter 18, if you would please get into the Word of God this morning. I appreciate the fact that we as a church make the preaching of the Word of utmost importance. Caden, could you come here? I have noticed going to here and to there what they value. And I love music, don't get me wrong, but a lot of times music is more valuable to people than preaching. Just about the last year, we've had a couple visitors that have come in, and the one thing they say to me is, well, you sing the hymns, and we want other songs and whatnot. And I don't know about y'all, but the hymns have got a whole lot more doctrine to them than a lot of the newer songs do. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with the newer songs. I'm just saying that they're very... well, some are just not doctrinally sound. You know, Jesus loves me. You read in the first verse in the chorus, they're doctrinally sound, but the rest of the song's not doctrinally sound. Even those older songs like that. And sometimes we dismiss some of the other songs because maybe we don't like the rhythm or the tune or this or that very good. And I would say the Blessed Assurance is one of those hymns that has stood the test of time. So we thank the Lord for those old hymns. And the fact that that's just what we're going to do, y'all. Amen. Luke chapter 18 this morning. Luke and chapter 18. This week as I studied, there's so much in this, and I don't want to run over this story. This is the certain ruler in verse number 18, if you would. Luke 18 and verse number 18. The Bible says, and a certain ruler asked him. Now, this is very important that we see the word certain here. If you come back with me to chapter 16, and if you come back to verse number 19, there was a certain rich man. Do you notice the wording here? There's a lot of people that think that this passage of Luke 16 and verse number 19, this is just an analogy. Now we find that this certain rich man dies, and in hell he lifts up his eyes in torments. That's what the scriptures tell us there. This is a certain man. In verse 21, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. What the world will do is they'll say that one part of the scriptures is an analogy and the next part of the scriptures is a true story. I want y'all to know that as we look in today into Luke chapter 18, he is speaking about a certain ruler that has come to him. There is certainty in the fact that hell is real. There's a certainty in the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior. There's a certainty in the fact there's more evidence that He's been alive on this earth than any other human being in the history of mankind. I've heard some of the arguments is that Jesus never existed. Well, just because you close your eyes real hard and the boogeyman disappears doesn't mean the boogeyman ain't still there. Just because you close your eyes and you wish the Jesus away doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus is not real. He is real. He is a certain Savior. He is a certain God. He's the only God. But I want to point out to you that many of the scoffers and many of the heretics want to make each passage what they want it to be. The fact of the matter is, in Luke chapter 16, there's a certain rich man. There's a certain beggar. And as you make your way back to Luke chapter 18 and verse number 18, there is a certain ruler. This is a real true story. Just when the Lord Jesus was speaking of hell in chapter 16 in the world system, he's also mentioning here that there is a certain there is a certain ruler. Now, I want you to understand, in this ruler, could this be a Sadducee? Could this be a Pharisee? Could this be a Roman ruler? Could this be a ruler of the Jews? It's something to consider, but if you notice his position... a certain ruler, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now we'll end there because I want to get into the rest of this story, but there are some things that next week, we'll look at the finish of this, but this week, to understand, no one has a right to salvation. No one has a right to salvation. So we see this, the certain ruler noticed that Jesus was someone of importance. He uses the term in verse number 18, good master. But does he really know who's standing in front of him? Probably not. But because of his position and the fact that he's a wealthy man and he's got all this and he's got all that, he says, and here's his words, watch his words. A certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Look at that word inherit a moment. That has the idea that this rich ruler, he's got a lot wrong. But he's trying to portray himself as someone of stature, someone of arrogance, someone of, hey, looky at me. Something to think about. This ruler did not really know who the Lord Jesus Christ was. He just said, good master. So he's saying, good master. He's seen all these miracles. He's heard all this teaching. But does he really know him? That's why next week we'll see what the Lord Jesus Christ's answer is. And I think that it is one thing that this world definitely lacks. And if we're not careful, church, we will lack it also. But for this week, good master is the term the ruler used to call out to the Lord Jesus. Good master. Is he a fake and a fraud? From what I can see, he is. And I'll explain that as we go on. But why would he use the term good master? Something leads me to believe he was a Sadducee or a Pharisee. Now, if he mentions and he talks about eternal life, that negates the idea that he's a Sadducee. Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in eternal life. They believed that when you died, that was it. Much like the Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and so many other groups think this very same thing. Matter of fact, that's why the Catholic Church does what it does when it wants to pray people into purgatory. Listen, friend, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, nobody got to pray you into heaven. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, no one can pray you out of hell. No one can pray you into this and no one can pray you into that. And this rich young ruler is probably a religious man. This rich ruler might have been a ruler over a town, might have been a ruler over villages. We don't know much about it, but we notice that the Scripture reminds us that he's a ruler of some kind and he's a certain one. Now, which one? Don't know. But he's a person of position. Well, with that, sometimes when you have position, you think you have a right to this and a right to that. You and I don't. We don't have a right to anything. Well, I'm the firstborn. I don't have a right to it. My brothers and I, in trying to help our mother and make sure that she's wise with what she has, and she can. She went on a cruise, went to Alaska with Uncle Mike. She's done this and that. Boy, it's just a real blessing. And we're hoping that maybe we can go to take her to Florida. And she's still got an airplane ticket. When I had to have back surgery, she's still got a plane ticket to use. And so we want to take care of our mom. But I don't have a right to mom and dad's money just because I'm the firstborn. I don't have a right to this and a right to that. Sometimes within the church house, there are families that think they have a right. Now, I know within our church family now, there's not one family that's in charge. We're all in charge. If you want to be in charge, I'll sit in my chair and let you. Hey, I'm tired of us living by my dumb decisions. And by the way, we all make dumb decisions, do we not? Now, the greatest decision Jamie ever made 40 years ago was to go with me on that date. Am I right? You better, I'm just kidding. Hey, we all make some silly decisions, every one of us. That's why we all need prayer for one another. Kevin and I were talking about iPads this morning because I know what Brother Scott's going to say. But I'll tell you, in the history of having an iPad and a computer, oh my word, the ease of use of the Apple product. I'm trying to give him some good advice, but I'm also trying to give him good advice is to save up and then get it. We do live in a world where we have to have computers. We do, and I hate that part. I mean, our phones are computers. And it's a shame that we stay on them so much and send books of texts to their pastor, but I would never bring up Rachel's name. Anyhow, no, I'm just kidding, Rachel. I'm kidding. Hey, by the way, I know you're praying for me, okay? You don't have to tell me every day. I'm just messing. But there are, in these positions, we think we have this right to this and this right to that. Just because somebody is, and I remember a few years ago, this woman got upset with me. Don't you know that my husband's the chairman of the deacon board? I said, nobody's a chairman of anything. If you, and by the way, if you want a title, I'll give you one. If it makes you feel better and helps you not to cry and snot rolling because I'm not important. Listen, friend, the only person you need to be concerned about being important to is the Lord Jesus. And He hung on a cross and He died and He arose again. Believe me, if you want to be important, you are important to God.
Well, that's just not good enough.
I don't know what to do for you. I don't know what to do for you. You're just going to have to cry in your Cheerios, right? You're just going to have to cry in your coffee. You're going to have to catch your liberal tears. The certain ruler, he says, good master. The certain ruler says to the Lord Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? See, God, earth is better because I'm on it. The certain ruler thought he had earned salvation with his usage of this word inherit. He thought, well, I'm pretty important. Hey, this church is blessed because I'm in it. No, this church is blessed because Jesus Christ is alive and at the throne room of grace. That's the important part. But you don't understand, I have position or I have this. So he uses really two terms, good master and inherit. There's a lot of people that will call me father. I hate that. But I kind of let it slide and whatnot. They have no clues to who I am. They have no clues to who God is. They've seen it through the lens of the world. I am a dad to three children, four children, one in heaven and three on this earth. Yes, I am a dad. But I am not no quote-unquote father because they think it has some kind of his importance. And if I get in good with Father David, doesn't that just sound dumb? It Father Ray, how about that? Father Josh. Mary Bensie. Isn't that what most of them are all, a bunch of Marys? Why can't they? No. Mary, you go to the Catholic Church and everybody's Mary something. Or Sister Mary Rachel. Sister Mary Rachel. Are you kidding me? Listen, beloved, God thought you were so important that He died and arose again for you. There is no humility in this statement. So I want to look at the word inherit. The word inherit means to receive as a right. Inherit. David has inherited the muscle of my dad. He has inherited the bald head like his dad. He has inherited, you know, there's some things I don't want to write to. Amen. Now, for your sake and those watching, I'm extremely handsome because of both my parents. And I'm extremely... Has Kevin stopped laughing? Do y'all understand where I'm going with this? We think we have a right. He uses the word inherit. Another definition of the word inherit is to take by descent from an ancestor. Well, don't you know that I am the ancestor of such and such? Boy, I've heard over the years things that my family or my grandmother, for example, my grandma Marion is related to Sarah Bush Lincoln. That was Abraham Lincoln's stepmother after his mother passed away. We are direct descendant of that line. So what does that make me and Abraham Lincoln? Americans? Brothers? I believe Abraham Lincoln was a saved man. When you read his testimonies, he knew the Lord. And the Bible meant something to Abraham, President Lincoln. And that's what made him such a great man. The Bible means something. I know many of you wonder about Trump, but I know that as he goes along, I'm hoping that that old New Yorker will get some help from God, unlike Barry and Biden and George W. and George H.W. and Slick Willie and those men. I know that Abraham Lincoln and men like Ronald Reagan, and I'm praying that my leaders will let the Word of God, not the Quran, which by the way is a wicked, devilish book. I'm praying that my leaders... So this ruler is definitely not in the Word of God, not been around the Word of God. The Word of God standing right in front of him. So he says, inherit, to take by descent from an ancestor. Why, I am David Garver. Don't they know that my grandma Nellie was a Weddle? And she's related to the Schweitzer family? That makes me an ancestor of Alfalfa Schweitzer. Well, I don't know if I want to be an ancestor of one of our gang who was part of the He-Man Woman Haters Club. And then because of Darla, they had to mark that out. Y'all remember that? Grandma Nellie, on Grandma Nellie's side, the Weddles and the Garvers are related to the Buchanans. President Buchanan, who was a president before Abraham Lincoln. Why, I'm an ancestor of that. Come to find out, Grandma Nellie, because of her Scottish heritage, is a direct descendant of the last reigning monarch of Scotland, Mary, Queen of Scots. But I don't know if I want to have that ancestry, because her cousin, Mary, who was the Queen of England, killed her. I don't know if I want that ancestry. But we'll look at our ancestry and who we are. Hey, we got a new pastor coming in. And I'm going to use this as an example. Now, this would never happen because I know the Mills family. But could you imagine if Brother Rader, the Lord takes him home. And they have a new pastor in there. And one of the Mills walks up, and there's like 1,000 Mills in that church. Okay, maybe 980, okay? And I can see Bob. Let's just say Bob. Now, Bob wouldn't do this because I know Brother Bob, is he a good man? He might be better than his brother, but I don't know. I'd throw that up. Bob says, don't he know I'm a Mills and we've been in this church forever? I'm owed some type of an allegiance. I'm owed some type of position. I'm owed some type of inheritance. Now, thank God I know that family so well they would never do that. Is there a possibility? Absolutely, because we're all foolish and ignorant. We are. Let's own up to it, okay? That's just who we can be. That's why we've got to be in the Word. That's why we've got to be praying. That's why we've got to be right with God so that that old ugliness that's within us doesn't come out. By the way, this is another character you and I could be. Much like the Pharisee and the publican that we've looked at. To inherit. Receive as a right. Take by descent because we're an ancestry. Or to take possession as a possession. What did I get in the will? And we always have, you know, you watch the movies or in real life, who's been written out of the will, the idea? It's crazy to me the times that I've had to break up fights at the Gorsline Runciman because they were upset about who gets what. It's ridiculous. And that's just one example. But I'm sure there's other examples that you and I know of family members fighting over this and family members fighting over that. A few years ago, Morgan wants to talk to me. Well, Daddy, when you die, who gets your guitars? I don't care. Well, I've got a baseball collection. Can you imagine families fighting over a baseball collection? Over cardboard with print on them? But that's how foolish our flesh is. Beloved, this is another instance of us understanding who man really is. Boy, I'm so thankful, church family. Please, as we guard it, that we have it here in this church building, that no one has a right to any position or any place. We don't. We don't. The ruler thought eternal life was owed to him. I'm good enough. My last name is Mills. My last name is Garver. My last name is this. My last name is that. I'm owed. Listen, according to Scripture, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And when you die according to the Scriptures, you'll either spend eternity in heaven or you'll spend it in hell. That's on your best day what you've earned. Boy, this ruler, though, he thought that eternal life was owed to him. Don't they know who I am? This is owed to me. God forbid, Lord Jesus, that Mama Connie go home and be with the Lord. I will tell you this, my wife will not be hurt by any other family members, and I don't think they will. Boy, there sure is a good possibility. We all have been around families like that. You may be a family like that. I remember in other families, for example, one son getting $200,000 and $300,000 for this and that, but the daughter not receiving anything over time. And the daughter's the one that took care of the mom in her last days. We think we're owed something. Beloved, on our best day, we've earned death. But on Christ's day, what He did is where we get our eternal life. We are bought with a price. We are not our own. God doesn't owe any of us anything. The ruler thought not only that it was owed to him, but the ruler thought eternal life was his by right. He uses the term good master. He has no clue as to who the Lord Jesus is. How do I know that? Because he thinks he wants to inherit eternal life. Now, eternal life is a free gift. It is a gift. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is an absolute gift, but it is not a gift to be given to you by right, just because of who you are. Don't you know who I am? That's what he's saying here. So he says, I'm good enough. It's owed to me. He says, don't you know who I am? It is mine by right. Oh, my word. There were some things that mom was selling of dad's, and dad was getting close to passing. And I remember on the phone, mom and I talking to dad about a few things. And dad says, look, I remember one conversation. I remember him saying to mom, called her by name, and then said, you do what you have to do. You have my permission. So she began to sell a bunch of her guns. And mom just found buyers. And whether she got enough money for them, I don't know. Chris and I both kind of wonder a little bit about it. But she sold them, paid off a few bills and things like that. You say, well, David, a lot of that was yours. No, it wasn't. It's not mine. Mom has talked about us in the will with taking the house. And I said, Mom, unless God tells me to go back to Paris, Illinois, I won't come back to Paris, Illinois in my life. You know, church family, you know my heart. I'm here till I stop breathing. All right? Well, I would love for the Lord to call me back to Florida. Only because I know what's going to happen from mid-September to mid-April. Y'all, I'm very serious. And I know we joke and kid about it, but I hate the cold anymore. Anything under 50, you can have. Well, just bundle up. I don't feel like weighing 50 pounds heavier just to go outside. Amen? Forgive me. I don't want to make an ugly attitude here this morning. But I struggle with the cold. I always have. As you're younger, you can put up with it. But as you get older, I know why the old people go to Florida. Amen. But you know, beloved, he thought he had a right to it. He thought it was owed to him. But here's something else. The ruler thought eternal life was guaranteed. Eternal life is not a guarantee. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, it is guaranteed. Do you understand the difference? Just because you are this or you are that, your name is such and such, you come from this family and that family, doesn't mean eternal life is yours. Does not mean it is guaranteed in your world. Where's the guarantee? Right in front of him. You know what my guarantee of eternal life is? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And the fact that he brought his gospel to my ear 51 years ago. And I heard the gospel. And I knew I needed Jesus Christ to save my soul. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I need you. You are the Savior. You know what the Ethiopian eunuch said in Acts chapter 8? If you want a great reference for this, look at verses 35, 36, and 37. And 38. The eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Beloved, believe on Him. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not by any works. It's not by anything you can do. It's not by you, your last name. It's not by where you were born. It's not by how much money is in your bank account. It's not by anything earthly. But only that which is heavenly. You want a guarantee of eternal life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. That's the guarantee. But boy, when we get to thinking that we're somebody and all that, then some of the bag of chips, I don't know what else to use. Is that the same terminology they're using today? I don't know. Back in my day, if you thought you were all that, or you're so important, or whatever it is, my last name is such and such. And I've been in those churches where if you didn't have the last name of Johnson or Williams or this name or that name, then you were a pawn in the church. Well, beloved, I refuse to do that around here. I don't care what your last name is. I want to know that you're saved. And are you willing to serve? Not David, not Walker Bible Baptist. Are you willing to serve God Almighty? I've told you before, everything ought to be done because you love the Lord. Don't you send me a card. Don't you make me a meatloaf. Don't you hug me without making sure that it's because you love God. You know, we've had families in here like that. I told you, I was telling them in the office this morning, we've had a couple families, one in particular, that did all this and that, and they've helped us put this in, and helped us do that, and helped us do that. And then one night, they decided, and of course the devil kind of pushed them, we're leaving the church if you don't stop teaching on eternal security, and if you let me speak in tongues in this church, otherwise we're leaving. Listen, friends, the tongue-speaking movement is devilish. It is a known language. It is not this jibber-jabber. And then they have to teach. All right, David, get off that soapbox. Not only that, but when you're saved according to Scripture, you're saved forever. Amen. Now, if you're not saved, that means then you're not saved. But if you've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, He saves you, He seals you, He washes you, He sets you aside. You are His. Therefore, you are His responsibility. Do you understand that? Amen. Man, thank you, Lord Jesus. I've had some people look at me cockeyed when I tell them the Lord Jesus saved me 51 years ago. So, never in that time did you ever lose it? Oh, I'm sure that God wanted to get rid of me a couple times. I know my mom and dad wanted to get rid of me a couple times. I know my wife wanted to get rid of me a couple times. I know this one wanted to get rid of me a few times. I want to thank God for mercy and grace. Thank God for repentance. By the way, that's your biggest problem. You can't say, forgive me. That's what made David a man after God's own heart. And that's where this certain ruler's problem is. This certain ruler thinks his armpits don't stink. Now, I clean that statement up so I could use it in a family manner. Are y'all with me? He did. I don't need to get right. I don't need to. Good master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Oh man, like a summer. The only thing guaranteed in life is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. My question is where will you spend eternity? The Lord Jesus Christ died and arose again for you, so you might have eternal life. And that eternal life isn't in position. That eternal life isn't in your last name. That eternal life is not based on your bank account. That eternal life is based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus, and if you have received that free gift of salvation. Lord Jesus, I need you to save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Save me, Lord Jesus. It's that simple. Church of Christ preacher in Mississippi said to me, "Well, you know, salvation's not in a prayer." I said, "You're exactly right." What? Never forget that Saturday morning. I've used it a lot in preaching messages, and y'all are probably getting tired of hearing the same story, but I like telling this one. He looked at me and said, "What? You're right. It's not in a prayer." Well, we'd still like to have Bible study. Of course, that lasted about 10 minutes. Especially when I found out that they was going down to the river to be baptized, confessing their sin. And I looked at him and I said, "Wait a minute, buddy. If they're fixing to go get their sins washed away, then what good is repentance? Why do I need to confess if I'm going to go down there and let the water wash me off? Water can barely take the dirt off of you." Y'all have heard that illustration me using many times. Well, this rich young ruler, and sometimes even my flesh, seems to think that I've inherited it. That it's guaranteed. Beloved, salvation's by grace through faith. It is only in the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus had mercy on this ruler, though. Did you notice his answer? When you see what the Lord Jesus said to him, he said in verse number 19, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good?" You say, wait a minute, he's having mercy here? Yeah, because he could have said a few other things. See, I've read in Scripture we called him a bunch of vipers. I've read in Scripture where the Lord Jesus, you know, God Almighty, hey, he opened up the earth and Korah and his nut cases down there all got destroyed and died when the earth opened up because they was going against Moses. I've read about a rock out of a boy's sling that took a giant down. The Lord Jesus standing there, he's hoping he sees him for who he is. What his need is. The very thing and the very answer is right there, smack dab in front of him. "Good master, what shall I do to inherit?" That is not a good position to take. That's like saying, "God, I'm pretty good. What do you think of me?" If you ever say that, hang on. Well, if you ever think you're big in the britches, God will make sure to show you where your real position is. That's why I say, the Lord Jesus had mercy on this ruler. Now, next week we're going to look at how this young ruler walked away. But this week, I want you to see how this young ruler that thought that salvation, he had a right to salvation, our Lord Jesus still, right there in front of him, says, "Look, buddy, you don't have a right to it. But he's merciful." Yeah. Yeah, there's a way to be saved. And you're looking at him. There's mercy there. The Lord Jesus made no mention, if you notice this, of eternal damnation. Only the one thing the ruler lacked. You lack one thing. That's mercy. Do you understand mercy? Over an attitude of entitlement. Don't we see that today? We see a lot of entitlement. But the truth is, no one has a right to salvation. Because salvation is not something you can earn. Salvation is not something that just because your last name. Today, salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So I wonder, where do you stand? "Well, I think I'm good enough." No one's good enough. There's none righteous. No, not one. "Well, I think I'm good enough." There is none that doeth good. "Well, you know, I give to the poor and I do this at Christmas and I do this. I hand out turkeys at Thanksgiving." The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He wrote that to the church. Do you realize that? He wrote that to the Roman believer. The gift of God. So I ask you this question. Do you think you have a right? I hope not. I pray you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that your attitude this morning? I pray your attitude is not that. If your attitude is that, you're the one with the problem, not the Lord Jesus. No one has a right to salvation. But salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray this message has been a help. I pray, God, that we'll use it as a mirror to take a look and make sure that we're not that. Lord, help us. Help us not be like the Pharisee or this certain ruler thinking that salvation is owed to him. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying and arising again. Thank you for that. Thank you for the guarantee of eternal life through your work, not through ours. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if God's dealing with your heart this morning, as we stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed, if God's working in your heart, would you come on? Maybe you know someone who's like that, that you'd just name their name and pray for them, that they would be saved. Maybe there's something in your life that is along that line. God doesn't owe us anything. We owe Him everything. So this morning, if God's dealing with your heart, would you come on, Christian? Maybe you're praying for someone to be saved. You know, the hardest thing to get a lost person, an unsaved person to understand is they're lost. This rich young ruler is definitely an example of somebody that didn't think he was lost. Maybe you got a name that you want to pray for. Family member, whatever it is. Please, friends, if God's dealing with your heart, you come on. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? You knew right now that you were to die, that heaven would be your home? If you don't know for sure, friend, don't leave here not knowing for sure. I can take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you have eternal life. But it is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone and in no one else. This invitation time, if God's dealing with your heart, you come on. Please. Don't leave here the same way that you walked in. No one comes within the invitation. If you don't know for sure you're saved or not, let me show you how you can know for sure, please. Lord Jesus, you've been so gracious and kind to us again, allowing us to open our Bible freely. When I wonder sometimes when that day will even end, as the enemy is here in America. Lord, thank you for the fact that we can open our Bible and preach of you freely. Thank you for that. I'd ask that we not take it for granted. Lord Jesus, thank you for your finished work, for all your work. Thank you for your marvelous grace and mercy. Lord Jesus, thank you for that. We praise you for it. Thank you. I pray, God Almighty, that you'd be glorified. Oh, what a blessing, Lord Jesus, you've given to us through your word again today. In Jesus' holy name, amen.